This morning, ladies and gentlemen, the committee, how do you like that formality? I'd like to talk to you about a couple of bills due to my heart. I'd like to hold just a plain old work session on them. I don't intend to hold a hearing on them unless somebody is here to testify on House Bills 1172 and 1173. Is anybody here to testify on those bills? If not, we should turn the book to them and let's see what we can do by philosophy. Yeah, you'll notice 1172, there's an amendment that you'll allow me from the chair to just briefly describe what how these got started. These were started before the sign, pot, get off of the pot. They were started by legislative administrative committee, and that's why Wally Carson and others have co-sponsored these bills. Basically, the two are companion bills. And what they do is put the state security force under the state police to take it out of legislative administration because Stevens doesn't do what he wants to train these people. And they more probably belong under the state police. But while the legislature is facing their under 73, they're under the supervision of the presiding officer of each house. And 73 makes them peace officers. For whatever protection there may be, and not having enough sentence to arrest. And 72 then makes it a crime to do substitute the right side of the assembly, so there will be something on the books that they can make an arrest for, which I understand there's not now. So with that, then I have prepared an amendment. I was talking one day with Carl, and I agree with him that the language of 72 made them a mistake, and that maybe we can try to clean it up a little bit because it's sort of like Portland's vagrant to the ordinance.
Being in the minority, I'm specifically concerned. That gavel, I recall last session, Representative Priestley, serious danger.
Mr. Chairman, if we adopt this amendment, does that mean that any person who is a member of the legislative assembly may conduct himself in a manner which interrupts, disrupts, and otherwise interferes with the orderly conduct of business in the
legislature? No. Yes, it would, I suppose, mean he's not guilty of misdemeanor, but would still be subject to ejectment by his own members or by the presiding officer, the sergeant at arms, I suppose. As Carl pointed out, almost happened in the previous session. I'm
waiting. Yeah. I was talking to the speaker about this voice session again about the problems of a disrupted member. And he advises me that their research on it indicates that the proper approach is that a member is engaged in that type of conduct. Is a motion for censure, and then it's voted upon by the members of the House, and if it passes, then you can call the judge of arms who may evict a member. But the period of time that the subject matter that was on the floor at that time is still on the floor, under debate, as soon as that's over with, and he doesn't have to write to the member for the censure.
Can I ask you a question about 1172?
Yes, you did.
What were we talking about? It was 72 to go to conduct kind of thing. Now, clearly, and I'm not talking about legislative now, but let's say some citizen comes in here and he's orderly, and he ran some ways and things and disrupts the meeting and uses language and makes such a spirit on. I didn't think you could arrest any of that anyway. I wouldn't go there. It's totally kind of serving the
peace. What is the service that you do?
I don't know, but we've got one.
Maybe I should have put on here at the request of the Joint Committee on Legislative Administration. I did ask that same question. Kathleen was prepared to draft it, and frankly, I don't remember her. I think that she gave me something along the line. There ought to be a specific, specific crime. Well, I don't know that a city ordinance would apply inside the chamber.
Oh, we're going to call for the vote.
Yeah, I know. But can city ordinances apply inside the walls of state penitentiary?
That's not a public place for me.
Well,
it's a public place.
Lawfully met together for a lawful purpose in a house or the open air shall be punished upon conviction by imprisonment in the county jail for not less than 1 month or more than 3 months, and by fine not less than $10,000.
In a house or in the open air?
We don't care about the
tenant. maybe something that we just added to that statute by amendment to include the legislative assembly.
We can keep that before then.
Well, the serving of the tea, the driving animals recklessly, and the serving religious
duty
with intoxication, and then there's...
What is the model code?
The vagrant tea statute. Under the vagrant tea statute, any person who conducts himself in a violent, riotous, or disorderly manner on his use of abusive or criminal language or in a house or place by the peace of quiet, the neighborhood of the center may be disturbed. That's the agency.
We're all good, man. Maybe that was Kathleen's suggestion to the vacancy type statute for the chief section there. What is the specific sign in this? I really don't know. Maybe we should ask her to come down. I've done no research on it.
There's a disorderly conduct section in your code, page 214.
But that, however, will not help us at this time. Why don't you call Kathleen and say it and ask her to come down and say, While we're waiting for Kathleen, why don't you take a look at 73? And see what you think about 73.
Oh, I was talking about the other one.
No, 73, Harlan was sponsored. He didn't think that was the thing.
In 73, does it mean that we are year round wherever the number of the legislators is under culture?
No. Do you read that in your summary?
Yeah.
What?
Glad you pointed out.
Well, you suppose if you feel that you do need some money, anything wrong with that?
No, I think it'd be a good reason to have a lot of power around our house and people looking at it.
Well, in addition to letting people power off the roof the other day. Yeah, well, apparently they get more serious in Washington. They've blown up a couple legislative houses in Seattle. And it's a little bit more of a problem if they're in one staff house with the explosive growth happens. And maybe we ought to have this. Mm-hmm. I understand it's just shot in legislative out there, too.
What, maybe 5 or 20?
How many of them? I really understand the new one. I don't think that. But as necessary, if they'll provide services necessary for security, I suppose that in the event something like that happened to you.
But I keep pointing out on the right side of the road, it's necessary to provide services for one legislator. And the appropriations of the legislature don't pay for that.
Yeah. Keep in mind, however, that the, I suppose the discretion of this matter is going to be by the presiding officer's new job. Their actions should be instructed to the presiding officer's new job legislative assembly. And that, I suppose I could call up and say, hey, I want to speak escort to Field Rock in Salem. That would be that's the direction of the presiding officer.
We have a house board in provision that says that either house during this session may punish by imprisoning of any citizen not a member who shall be guilty of disrespect to the house by disorderly or contemptuous behavior in its presence. Thus, such imprisonment shall not at any time exceed 24 hours.
That one, of course, Kathleen is aware of. And are you back on the other bill again?
You never got up. I
didn't go. He's very worried about the position that the speaker might be in with the Sergeant John in the church. Do you like to be a witness? Come on up, Kathleen.
We're on the road.
Yes, we're talking about a couple of bills that you're familiar with, 1172 and 3, one making it a crime to disrupt the legislature and the other one putting the security force under it. Do you want to talk a little bit about 1172 first and why we were making that a specific crime and so forth, as opposed to our general frequency and vagrancy statutes that are already in?
Chairman, I'm talking about the legislative council member. 1172 represents the an effort to get at the act of disrupting the legislature directly and specifically, and this is an idea that came out of the National Legislative Conference, which it was indicated that in the last 2 years, three of the state legislatures have undergone the disruptive effects of various kind of groups involved in entering onto the floor or in the gallery. And all of these states have encountered the same difficulty, and that is that some of these acts involve malicious mischief, vandalism, disorderly conduct, various kinds of things. But the effort that they had with the police department, among other things, was they were fine about calling the invaders out, but somewhat describing is exactly what they were supposed to charge them with because of the difficulties when you have a great many people together figuring out which one's the one that dumps the ink on the carpet that you can get under and which is mischief and which one is the one that does something else. And while they did not indicate that they were unable to find charges on which to bring against these people, there was a recommendation made by us in almost all of these states as a result of the matter of fact, was to go after the specific act of disrupting legislative sessions. That this made the enforcement activity, it made the police act and so forth more easily handled and led, they thought, to a quicker or solution to the problem and a better enforcement of nuisance action. Now, I can't say that the language, particularly in this bill, comes from that in any other state. And you try to think of all the proper verbs and descriptive actions that would come about, and so interrupt or interfere were the ones I came up with, which seemed to be what we're trying to get at. It came to an actual assault and battery or something of this sort, you might think, that the single action of a single individual might be handled more directly under a specific crime, where in fact the more severe thing is the question itself.
Thank you. Question two.
I noticed that you're limited to the legislative chamber. What if a group of people are outside the legislative chamber in the hallway, disrupted, let's say, or so you didn't cover that way?
No, it would not. Well, you have the problem of not getting involved in interfering with the right issues of redress grievances or free speech. Right, but I think that you get the disorderly conduct. You would probably be within the justification. Oregon has no particular public trespass law. If you had one, maybe you would have your capital situation covered. It's the only one that we have on public property. Is either the one where the government declares an emergency and clears the area, or if it happens that there is a specific crime of trespassing on the state penitentiary property. The theory being that anybody who's wandering around on state penitentiary land is without 60 found to be without justification.
You don't think that a general disorderly conduct law doesn't?
I think it might. The problem that they had generally was when they got down to specific individuals. This person said, well, I was just standing there, the other fellows were the ones making the noise. But it could be expanded, for that matter, to any place where the legislature is used. So if you're meeting during the interim on the fourth floor of the public service building and a group invaded the lobby of the public service building, you'd be attention of disrupting that meeting. But this person, I believe, this is, of course, where the greatest damage is from the United States, too.
Assuming it's the new criminal code, there are section 220 of the Disorderly Conduct line. There's provision there, but makes it unlawful for any person who disturbs any lawful assembly of persons without lawful authority. That's subsection B. As a practical matter, would we run into a problem of a complaint stating two crimes the way 1172
is done? Well, the Kirby type situation would involve, I think, the question not so much of the fact that there are two crimes, but the question of whether or not the penalties would be for one enforcement here than the other. And the class C misdemeanor.
I wasn't thinking about Kirby,
though. Find out what a class C misdemeanor is. Some of the case law on that believes you with a little doubt as to what they meant on it, because they come back and say, but well, we can't be punished for it, really, for one or the other. That was the kind of thing I was thinking of. But I was requested only grants on remaining to the legislature, and the one suggested in section 220 for the legislature. Any kinds of lawful assemblies in person.
But the legislature would be inclusive, hopefully, of lawful assembly.
Any other questions? How about 1172, section?
The 1173 was drafted to cover a situation that is going about the same background. In asking the present law relating to the clearing or the policing of the chambers related to the sergeant arms, authorizing the sergeant arms to clear chambers, your penalty for that is that the person may be imprisoned for 24 hours, which is at the time they would make better sense. The difficulty suggested by some was that they wondered whether if the sergeant arms had marched somebody down to Marion County Jail, would the Marion County Jail would take them on the basis of that constitutional provision on arrest, because it seems the kind of thing you very rarely see invoked. It has been against the same constitutional in other states, the comparable type provision.
Somewhere it's punishing, isn't it?
Right.
Without hearing.
The United States Congress, I think they locked the gentleman in question in the gentleman's room and held him for 24 hours. And he contested this at a later time as false arrest and kidnapping and a few other things. And the court sustained the power of Congress to invoke such punishment. It is not perhaps realistic, in my view. So, trying to get at the point of who has the authority to take care of the security services and the feeling that the process state police is an appropriate agency to handle that. And then the provision relating to the authority of the presiding officer with the idea that both presiding officers, as a matter of fact, I think had a feeling that if they were in the security forces in the chambers and around that they could be subject to direction or instruction anyway from the presiding officers. They would be peace officers, they would be clear on the authority to arrest. There was some discussion of the idea that security people being many deputy sergeants at arms that would then fall back on the 24 hour thing, and that left, among other people, Superintendent Holcomb somewhat distressed whether they would be fit or foul at that point in the day. The provision on the expenses being incurred, being paid from the legislative assembly. The realization that the state police budget, certainly the current one, did not build into it the employment of additional personnel. And of course, it's been the custom pretty much that the state police have functioned on a reimbursement principle from various kinds of funds for their activities. That's in part because those funds, of course, are earmarked, but this is, was added as a suggestion, I think, on the Holcomb at this point.
The state police have the, you know, these great private first class and all this kind of thing. And Holcomb has suggested that perhaps these people would be, in addition to officers that might not be in those great classifications and so forth.
Just so somewhat in line with the cadet program on DC.
Well, I understand that in fact there are some of these young men are cadets.
As I noted before you came in, this is not limited to the legislative section.
No, it is not.
Is that in fact so?
Yes, with the possibility that in some occasions, if you were holding large public hearings during the interim, it might be some felt need for security decisions which would authorize it. I don't think, however, that there's any particular plan ahead of time to do so. But the draft is certainly not on there.
Suggested that this might be used to provide three courses for the person of the individual member.
I think it could be invoked if such a need were to arise and it was redefined in the assignment.
I'm just wondering if this shall provide services necessary to secure the security of members and the orderly conduct of the business.
Well, I would assume that the security of the member, and that is, if you were to invoke it for that purpose, and probably you'd be related to arising out of legislative business, and you'd take the situation to be the people at the National Legislative Conference. I went with a view a little bit of, maybe this is not that severe. The indication, first of all, of the number of states that have been involved and the kind of things that have been invoked and done left me with a feeling that there was more problems here than what I had been willing to admit before I encountered them. And one of the problems they had, for instance, of the security officers in Florida in clearing the floor, apparently fell subject to that little question of whether you use a little more force than necessary, and it's now involved in a personal suit against him. He weighed about 250 pounds and suspected him. The potential for carrying it more might have
been certainly the television commentary on what they're doing in the cities and the rest. Putting bulletproof glass around the gallery. Between the gallery, that means the gallery and maybe the floor.
So it's
just trying to make it feel secure, isn't it?
Are you going to use any of these papers? So
are we running across the possibly a conflict of authority here? Is he going to be in the charge of the security force?
Officer in charge of all of the states, assigned to the house. And if you have an indication of when, clearing it or a dealing or not doing or whatever, that's the authority to carry that under the rule. So you would have the potential anyway, and I think one of the points of the bill was to clarify, put it one way rather than the other.
Any other questions, Kathleen? Thank you, I know you're doing so. Appreciate you coming down.
I'm still on the
move that we adopt the amendment page 12971 to House Bill 1172. Any objection? Not? Let's call the roll. Representative Sheldon moves off to 1172 as amended to the floor to the back. Any discussion? If not,
yeah, I have some discussion.
All right, Mark.
I wonder why we pass this bill when there's only three statutes, possibly city ordinances, that all you provide the same for us. I think it's a thing that's kind of repetitious. And then the possibility of this one may have been adopted, the new one.
That one, however, will not become effective until 9 days after the session.
We're still up to the comment session right now.
It's got 6 hours.
A necessary aspect. And I could see the argument that this is even more specific than persons in a crowd, and they could be trying to pick them out of a crowd. I'm going to pick them out of a crowd any better with it.
Well, the problem that whole group has committed a crime is I don't know.
It's going to become a class A, B, or C, and that's the name of the thing.
Well, I don't know. You're asking me questions about that monster, young and cross created. I really don't really know. Any other.
The only question I have about is the facility is limited to a late phase standard. Although I made a motion to move it out, I suppose I'd be a little happier with it if it was, this is what it is, really, public trespass, kind of public trespass statute. And I think probably on the other hand, amended further to extend it to the state capital building.
This is Martin, but I think that's the answer.
That's not really a trespass thing. A trespass is an unlawful entry. People have permission to go to the extent of the public place where they can be defended, the way they own the island and house. Again, they have the same argument if that sounds like that. I might be in favor of amending the now existing state disorderly conduct statute by inserting the word legislation.
You might have to go further than that. As Kathleen has done, I think she concludes the committee meeting, standing or interim or special, and so forth. I think she's taken it even to the point where there could be an arrest for discussion of this meeting, as I read that on the record. So, in effect, it does cover all portions of the government building that we occupy. Except probably our private office.
And the hallway.
And the hallway.
And the roof cut down, the governor's office, and the treasurer's office, and the police office, and all the
right.
So, John, but,
further discussion.
The witness testified that the only reason that the show was prosecute everybody who was present at the time of the disturbance. That is to say, you wouldn't have to check out this particular witness, but to say they would, even a duty line,
they could then take the whole crowd down and prosecute them for disorderly conduct, and that's certainly a valid
They still have that.
Each individual must be proven beyond reasonable doubt that he himself violated the statute and caused the disorderly act. That, of course, is fairly public inconvenience, and so I don't like to say no.
What's your reaction to that? Is there a better way to write it into the disorderly conduct statute that we have now?
No, I think it's true. Not without making it very, very rude. Because I think you run into a problem of whether or not when you're having interim committees and special committees, whether or not these are in fact public assemblies. Yeah. I think you run into that problem under the specific statute that you have on that one day. And this makes it clear, I mean, this covers the basis for all of the necessary things. You could move one of the exceptions on this that you have by saying, during our near legislative session, all of the meetings, is that the government in our near there in such a manner that it disrupts the meeting. That's making it a little bit broader. But I think you have to put an awful lot of life into the existing justice to make it better everything is just that.
Would you agree that there may be a problem with their model? I mean, as he points out, that maybe we're not covered under the public gallery, especially with the presence. For the others, it's questionable that they're awful. If they don't consider it a public place, or a place for the house, then might not be a public place.
No, it's not.
Yeah, probably isn't. There's some way we can amend this thing to make it more palatable. Even though it's still here, but it's 72, and we need to have 72. What do you think about Dennis' suggestion?
I'll withdraw what my motion passed out for the ministry. I think that her suggestion is a good one. While I've been sitting there thinking of it, what about the mob out on the front steps, or on the ground, and throwing rocks at the windows, or any laws? I don't know. I don't know who enforces the law on the state side. The city police have authority over the state government?
Probably the chief officers. Why don't we,
we've had some problems with the what authority in past years, if somebody is questioning what authority we give, the police are not in front now. They are employed by the
legislative administration?
No, I don't think so.
The woman that threw the bottles through all the windows around here, I think she was arrested by city police.
Probably one of those guys out there calling the city police.
I know that we get him after the word himself. No, after the word him, or near.
Okay, that's been felt moved that Article 1172 be amended by the addition of the words on line 5 after the word in or near, and on line 6 after the word in or near.
Chairman, I have one question. Is the reference of either house proper reference to the referral and the other statute?
The discussion on the motion to amend.
Would that include the is that in line
five and six?
On your legislative change, would that include the land use versus campus?
Yes.
That interrupted, disrupted, or otherwise interfered with the order of conduct of business in the country. That'd be a matter of truth, and you're not beginning to make any of your truth with that.
The only thing that worries me is that I recognize the problem, of course, and recognize the fact that we found not guilty. But it would not remove the obvious tool that would be available to arrest. Still be arrested. That one problem under the statute. Now, perhaps then we could go down and defend. But we have opened up, I think, the statute in the area of arrest that we don't have. I think you all agree with that.
How do you vote on 1880?
I voted both ways. So I'm right, either way.
Well, they also expect us to call the rest of the
well,
comfort the district judge is in Lurie County that no hesitation to dismiss the lack of probable cause.
No, Lurie County, that doesn't happen. We have to continue those things indefinitely. Oh, first of all, that's something that's expensive. It would be. Well, and that's probably even the other thing that worries me, that the scope of it all, or otherwise interferes with the order of conduct of business.
Well, I don't think that the other folks
is there any further discussion on the motion to amend? If not, clerk call roll.
Councilman Cole?
Aye.
Councilman Kelly?
Aye.
Councilman Vaughn?
Are we left on the amendment?
Yes, on the amendment.
Councilman
Vaughn?
I'm one condition, nobody here asked any questions.
Pete, be with you. How about 1173? Want to take any action on that?
I'm moving forward to
pass recommendation. So, if any House moves, the House Bill 1173 descends the floor with two pass recommendations.
Question. What is the definition of a seat belt? How does that differ from it?
Do you have definitions in the state?
Mm-hmm. Every member of the state police department has a seat belt.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it probably is.
And then why do you say that the personnel of the state police shall be peace officers while carrying out these duties? Personnel of the state police department shall be peace officers. When are they not peace officers?
Well, in this instance, they had to go through the subsidy of commissioning the gentleman, as I understand, giving the governor's commission. Every police officer, as I understand, state police officer has a direct commission from the government. And they don't necessarily want to go through that rigmarole with the security guard. They just want to make them peace officers like that rather than giving them the government to do that.
Yeah, but we're not saying that.
Yes, we are.
They all look badly.
Yes?
Terribly subterfuge way of saying somewhat. It's just explained it. The special personnel that's going to be employed shall be making the peace officer.
They police.
Well,
it says that the personnel, while carrying out the duties, personnel of the Department of State Police shall be peace officers. That means personnel hired for purposes of the security guard. They may not want to commission them as actual state police officers.
Okay, so we're
going to
Plus,
they don't have to issue the governor's commission to be in order to make these decisions. Further discussion? Question and call for it. First call the roll. I'm trying to think about somebody who would do a good job of doing that. How about Keith? Did I give you?
Yes, you did. I want one more.
Who is doing it? Marvin?
This one is good. Okay.
How about House Bill 1004? You want to do anything with that? Or do you want to? Representative Shelton moves the table House Bill 1004. Motion non-debatable. First call roll.
Representative Shelton?
Can I find it?
Yes, you want to hold it just a moment, tell me about it.
Yeah, we'll do it again.
The motion is by Representative Shelton that the table House Bill 1004.
Yeah. There's been no amendments proposed by anybody.
No.
It's horrible, too.
No.
So we're
talking
about
it.
You want to talk about it? He just told you it worked.
Wow.
You want to talk about it or move it up?
Oh.
Well, I think we're talking
about it. I have some very definite feelings about this summer here. And I could not vote in favor of the bill unless that is very clearly
explain as far as being outside of the in chambers. And I also think that it, the quasi criminal thing bothers me. I think that might leave that out. And if it does pass and we have a summary hearing, I'd like to see a definite solution to the right to
counsel. I think if we pass it out too, we ought to specify that the person who fails to testify will be compelled to testify by being put on the rack.
I think the reason that Mr. Shelton is opposed to the bill is because he thinks that it would be expensive to the person who has to testify. Now, this person has to testify against his own will. He's not. But he's testifying that. Would you agree with that? The main objection to the thing is.
Sir, my main objection to the thing is to destroy the Fifth Amendment. Well, doesn't the Fifth Amendment require a right to a great protection? It's one of the basic rights, or the right to be this thing, if you want to call it that. And this thing destroys it. It says that a man has to be compelled to testify against his will.
The if they don't struggle very long enough.
Eliminating quasi-criminal.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or do you just set out and start the time to do away with the quasi-criminal deal?
How about learning what to do?
Deputy?
Well, it's first court. It's first court.
Court where it's first
court.
No,
it's first court. How about learning to be granted?
I agree. If it goes out of here, it could be a strictly strong case. They should have some people that they feel necessary.
You don't have to limit it to the first part of the district court because the grand jury only first court to the court.
This is only then if he would have had a privilege. There were the judges determining that he does not have a privilege and must testify. Are we not? We're granting immunity. The purpose of it is to grant immunity to someone who, even though he doesn't have the privilege, he's being required to testify.
He wouldn't be subject to prosecution had he not had a privilege. I suppose the judge could determine that he didn't have a privilege under the Fifth Amendment and direct him to testify. But then it wouldn't be pursuant to this section that the court is directing him to testify. The court is directing him to testify because he doesn't have a privilege to
claim. Mm-hmm. Well, isn't the purpose to grant immunity to the witness whether he has a privilege or not? Isn't that the whole intent of the act?
Yeah.
And here we're taking that away from him. By use of that word.
Yeah.
But here you're only protecting the one who would have a privilege. I thought we wanted to protect all, every witness is required to testify, whether he has a privilege or not.
If he claims
the
privilege.
You have to claim that privilege.
No, he claims it, but this doesn't say it's claimed.
Okay.
Take a look at it anyway. It just bothers me. Putting a condition.
Would this extend to a situation that we pay by criminal end? Would this extend to a situation where the guy from the state tax coming to talk to you and say, I'd like to see your book? And you say, I am not going to show you my book. And et cetera. And he says, well, you have to show me your book under the provisions of all our rights going, so that you're ready to take your time.
How about adding it before the court after the board is proceeded? In any criminal or quasi criminal
I don't like the quasi criminal. I think that opens the door for a matter of definition, man.
They can force you to bring it into court.
Yeah.
Okay, isn't that, those are your own records. And they force you to bring it into court. You're testifying against yourself.
Yeah.
And you've kept those records.
There's a question about this.
The labor dispute disqualification would no longer exist
after the dispute has been in progress for 6 weeks. And I know that very controversial, and so in talking to Carl this morning, in talking to the chairman of the committee, I would request that if this committee has no objection, that the gut bill is at least be introduced as a committee bill. That's the request of the Oregon AFL-CIO. One would provide wage-related benefits, one would bring political jurisdictions under mandatory coverage of the law, and one would eliminate the matter of disqualification for a vacation statement. But the other one is to do the election.
The definition would be four bills and four bills.
George had that one run by him.
Yeah, well, all of these bills, for that matter, are a result of action taken by the state convention of the Oregon AFL-CIO, so I'm recommending them in these matters. So,
what was the bill that was passed at the Oregon State Bar Convention on Justice Controversial? Is there objection to the introduction of the House Committee bill? If not, it's so ordered by unanimous consent. Anything else to come forth today? For adjourned.
House Judiciary Committee, Subcommittee Number 1, February 2, 1971.
But we'll note the roll. Mr. Reed, I'm going to be here on 1164. Contract.
And we feel that this would be very helpful to us and would be very helpful to the men. This would be used, as I say, selectively.
Question of establishing a legitimacy involved rather frequently in
this. It is not a frequent matter, but situations arise from time to time that a man is engaged to a woman. He gets into some difficulty finding himself in a situation. And where all their plans were leading toward a marriage anyway, just prior to that, this becomes a very traumatic situation for both families, in place of the family of the girl and in place where she was pregnant. And the interest we feel is the community and especially these families would be better served if where there is a real legitimate situation. If this could be made a legal matter.
So, Mr. Abrams, is he anticipating conjugal visits?
The matter of conjugal visits was written up in the newspapers inappropriately.
I wondered about
that. And as a matter of fact, the inmates they were discussing that with didn't know what the word conjugal meant. And it was parlayed in the newspapers to all kinds of statements by the judge and by the district attorney and deals and so on. And that blackboard should be erased because this didn't happen at all. We have not permitted conjugal visiting. We do not anticipate it at this time. Under the present law, the superintendents of the institutions have authority to give men temporary leave. And we feel that this is a more natural and normal process and we try to set up conjugal visiting within the institution. By the way, the superintendents of the institution that are here, Mr. Sullivan from the Correctional Institution, Mr. Cuff from the State Prison, Mr. Calloway from the Women's Center, also present with us here is Mr. Terry Johnson, Chairman of the School Board, and Dwayne Lindley, Executive Assistant, Mr. Gowan. The answer would be no.
Thank you. No question.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Anyone else? This is just testifying. What are your pleasures, man?
One more.
Yes.
Chairman, I move on that we
send it to
the full committee. Send it to the full committee. We did
for the motion to enter the discussion. Not the clerk will call the roll. All those in favor say aye. The report no. The report is
aye.
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 House Bill 1165. I understand there's a little confusion about this. Misunderstandings or crosswired and communications or something. But if there are people here that want to testify on this today, we'll talk about it today. And
I'd like to confirm what you just said, and it would be our preference and pleasure if you would consider to carry it over as Mr. Gowan is out of the city, that he would really need to be here to discuss this, and we have some internal discussions to first.
All right, if I will, we'll do that then. That's all we have to do, man.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't a business to me.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on 1117. Thing that needs to be put in there about promises need to be added if we're going to lift
profession. As a profession.
For a while, and they
I know the surgeon and all the student men decide that we're going to have to choose that next to their service. They took it to the operating room and it came out quite a few. Nobody knows what happened. Nothing happened in that operating room that I'm told that's going to explain how it happened. Now, of course, the spinal cord is extraordinarily sensitive, interrupting the blood flow. And you may have had an artery go into spasm or something like that. And nobody knows. And yet, the case is settled. It was settled out, of course, for the maximum amount of insurance that was available.
Well, no, what
now, obviously, society's got to take care of that woman somehow.
Yeah.
Two small children and a quadriplegic the rest of her life. But this is just getting even bigger, I think. These were very competent people.
But remember, I think one thing we don't want to lose sight of is that the doctrine really fits the law, but it doesn't say that the doctor is liable.
No.
What it says is that it gets to a jury, and if the jury can infer some negligence, because of very unique circumstances that the patient found himself. And
they just decided they couldn't defend it from because
the doctor
is no factor in it.
Remember, the doctor takes the stand and he said, well, doctor, tell us what you did. And goes through the whole procedure. And they can have other physicians testify that they were perfectly in keeping the caliber of treatment and mortality. And there was absolutely no negligence. And all it does then is give the jury the opportunity to examine the case. It says that you may infer with your instruction. I think that's hanging them up. I can understand that.
And in this kind of a case, in most of my cases, they are inferred.
One thing I'd like more is to get it, and I don't know what it'll show, but I would be interested in seeing the number of claims, malpractice claims that have been made, the number of jury verdicts that have been received, and the number of settlements that have been given. I think those would be interesting figures for us to know if there's. They've overextended.
Way overextended. And I don't know what to do. I could care less. I'm not going to have a surgeon.
They're still going to have some type of brain damage.
Yeah, they're going to have a good deal of tactics. What worries me is the prospect that in some states that it just won't be available to them. And I don't mean to say this, but I think that race is just a major factor.
I had to leave early the other day. Did anyone from Oregon Auto testify?
No.
Well, you know, and that's the other thing. Tom, I thought, made some very generalized statements that he kind of inferred that the reason the carrier was dropped was because of the problem that this bill was alleviated.
Well, later on, he did the whole package of things. I do know that it is true that in Alaska, about 4 years ago, they were stable. The loss of the carrier and the traditions about Africa because we're going to leave the state. And the legislature made some changes in the statute, and they were just incredible. I don't know how I'll vote you on for that. No, I know of one now. I know of one now. Child business. Well, he's good about it, but he didn't. But I felt really malpractice. And I think it was a case of blood match, too, and I can't understand how he lost that one.
Well, more really and truly, I think you know, the more question Tom that you can't see the time that the position today is occupied very one spot in the heart.
He said that the
he had lost
the landscape case is the hard
yeah.
The hard
he hadn't lost that.
He settled down, but he hadn't lost
yeah, it. And I know we had two. We lost one in Eugene, where the woman was violently ill and called several times and finally was taken to the doctor's office and she was in the back seat of the car. And he wouldn't even leave his office. He sent the note out and kind of gave her a shot and went to the car and told her about it, took her home, and died 3 hours later. Mm-hmm. You think that'd be we tried that to a jury and all
wrong.
Yeah. I'm telling you, then Dr. Ladd, who probably heard that one, had to deal with a birth talk. And I'm pretty well informed with the medical society, which is pay it quick. And but the plaintiff's lawyers wanted more than the policy of a small policy. And they wanted more, and so they couldn't work it out for the defendant. And they tried the case, and I looked at the evidence, it's just there, you know. And if I'm not mistaken, Opie McCall maybe even testified to the defendant. I'm not sure. So, you know, and for the plaintiff's bar, they are extremely expensive in time and money. To handle. And you just don't. And when you do jump in the worm, most times you don't find it. You would just go back and make that decision again.
Yeah.
The only thing, the thing about them though, in fairness to the position, that when you have a case, the damages are usually very, very high. I mean, because the injury you're dealing with a very serious thing, and there's no doubt about it, but the exposure is.
I don't know that it's military. It may be.
Have you heard of such a case?
I've heard of somewhere in the back of my head, but I can't tell you.
I've heard of such a case of a bad person performing
well.
I've
heard that.
I've got a real one. I've lost both testicles.
Yeah.
I think that's a reported case too. I think that's Supreme Court. Or I heard about it.
We had one bad victim in this town done by a very good person. John Elkerson does an affection when he gets his job.
Mari, what's
good
with
this? I won't do him in the office.
What's the story as far as the doctor testifying? This was a problem at one time. Tom Cooney said,
I don't think there's anything like the problem. There certainly isn't any conspiracy of that. There is undoubtedly still a reluctance.
It's hard to get a doctor to testify. It's like, and say in a malpractice case, it's hard to get a lawyer to come to mind. And that's a human problem. I met with the physicians from the interim a number of times and discussed with them perhaps going to a arbitration type of hearing. And I contacted the American File Lawyers Association on it, who are the complaints bar. And they were agreeable to discuss getting together and formulating this type of thing. But then, every time it seemed like they were coming to an answer to this one, then they sat down in the legislature to either New Mexico or Arizona that went to arbitration years ago. Well, when they went anyway,
the doctors gave more judgment and more money on the arbitration board than claimants have ever had, and insurance has skyrocketed.
Maybe
so. Well, you know, it's kind of a thing that you judge by your peers, you know. And so they decided they want to go to the arbitration thing, you know. We just batted everything around. And,
yeah, let's get this.
I think you can't get the master experience out of that medical experience. One of the most enlightened people in the area, I believe, discussed with me, is Oprah McCall, who is the head of the malpractice board, I believe.
I believe he is, yeah, that's the chairman.
More important,
he's the chairman of that committee. Very experienced, and he's really a very, very fair man.
Thank you.
I doubt that either one would. One would stipulate that it didn't run, and one would stipulate that it did run.
No, not stipulating it.
With the
running of it, but stipulating it to be the time of occurrence of taking the run. And then resolving probably a fact argument on the matter of discovery or the reason it should have been discovered.
Here again, probably like this.
Well,
we
can have the same people.
Oh, yeah, it's good. Oh, they say that, no, it is, but it's a failure. They want another one. I think there should be some safeguard written in there, so that shouldn't be raised after a child 15 years old.
This bothers me quite a
lot.
Right now, there is no time limitation on major issues.
I think it's a good idea, but people like it. Oh, no, 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 no.
second in the jail with it. Wait for some justice later on in the government. Shortly after this child was born, kind of raised the question of maybe that operation, maybe a question to see whether that operation worked or not.
I don't think we'd do any good by checking on that.
Except that you're going to pay top for it.
That's the only thing. And he didn't pursue it any further, but 15 years later, when he decided to get divorced, his wife, then he wanted to get
checked. Yeah, that's the evil involved, isn't it? Well, except the guy I'll run, so he didn't be able to turn around. Yeah. But the same token, the way it is now, there's no way out of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to read. You got to
raise this question pretty quick.
He was not.